Well, hello, hello. This is Siobhan Parat, founder of Relatable, and I am thrilled that you have decided to join me with this Better Communication in Your Marriage audio program. This is going to be a wonderful time where we will go much more deeply into each of the steps to having better communication in your marriage. And so let's get right to it with the very first step, which is building trust. So I'm going to start with a quote here. And it says, "Trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships." And that's by Stephen Covey. So we all know that trust is important. It's an essential component of any relationship. It's a word that is often used, but not really well defined. You know, there's this assumption that we all know what it means, and that it means the same thing to everyone. So in our session today, we're going to spend some time really thinking about trust, what it means to you personally, how it shows up in your marriage, and where it may be missing. So I chose trust as the first step in improving communication because honestly, you'll rarely find a couple that communicates well, if they don't have a high level of trust, they have to believe what the other person is saying. They have to believe the other person will follow through on what they say. They have to believe the other person will listen, understand, and appreciate their perspective, even if they don't totally agree. And, you know, I love that quote by Stephen Covey. I'll read it again. "Trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships." So because trust is so essential, as I said, we're going to be spending some time figuring out what that looks like for you. And there's so many different aspects of trust. You know, there's trusting someone will be faithful, trusting that they will keep your secrets, trusting that they are honest, trusting they can be dependable, trusting their actions line up with their words, and probably lots of other things I'm not listing right now. But for our time together today, I want to think and talk about trust as it relates to its impact on your communication. What we think when we come to a conversation, what we already expect our husband to think, say, or do, if we believe we will be heard, listened to, and understood. So before you ever say a word, you already have expectations, which are a function of past experiences together and the level of trust you have for your ability to communicate effectively. So, if I were to ask you this question, if you trusted completely that your husband, through his thoughts, words, and actions, always has your best interest and the best interest of your marriage in mind, how would you feel? I'll repeat it. If you trusted completely that your husband, through his thoughts, words, and actions, always has your best interest and the best interest of your marriage in mind, how would you feel? I want you to give me three one-word emotions there. So examples include, you might feel secure, confident, at ease, peaceful, happy, relieved, calm, loving. Those are some examples, but I want you to think, what is it for you? If you trusted completely that your husband, through his thoughts, words, and actions, always has your best interests and the best interests of your marriage in mind, how would you feel? So let's take that just a step further. How would you act towards him? In that same scenario, how would you act? Would you be more relaxed, more open and carefree, nicer? Would you give him the benefit of the doubt? How would you act towards him if you believe he always had your best interest and the marriage's best interest at heart? Now, let's think about that as it relates specifically to communication. If you trusted completely that your husband, through his thoughts, words, and actions, always has your best interest and the best interest of your marriage in mind, how would you talk to him about important matters? How would you come to him? What would be your expectations? How would you communicate with him on really important things? So now what I want to do is we're going to create your definition. As I mentioned in the beginning, you know, lots of people have different definitions of trust. But let's think about it for you specifically. And I have what I call a sentence stem, where I'll read a sentence and have some blanks where you will actually fill the blanks for yourself mentally of what you would say there. So here we go. Trusting my husband makes me feel, then you would insert your emotion there, so there's a blank, which means I act, and then you'd say however you would act, and when we come together to talk, I am able to fill in the blank there. I'll read it again. Trusting my husband makes me feel, which means I act, and when we come together to talk, I am able to. And, you know, because, you know, we are in this together, you and I will actually share mine with you so you can have an example. Here's what I wrote for myself. Trusting my husband makes me feel secure and relieved, which means I act open and vulnerable. And when we come together to talk, I'm able to share what's really on my heart and really listen to him while giving him the benefit of the doubt. So that's what it is for me. And it sounds so easy, right? Just write the sentence and then it's done. I wish it was that easy. You probably wish it was that easy too. But I know that it's not. That sometimes you can get it right and sometimes you can get it so wrong. And in the Better Communication to Your Marriage Guide that hopefully you have downloaded and had a chance to look at, I gave you three specific strategies as it relates to building trust for your communication. And the first was to believe that trust is something you choose to give, that we don't have to wait for someone to earn our trust. It's always our decision to give it or not. The second was to come with a clean slate, leaving the baggage of past conversations in the past, of looking forward with optimism and sort of like each conversation is a blank sheet of paper. The third was to trust yourself that you can handle the outcome of any conversation and that ultimately things will work themselves out. And I want to take each one of those a step further with you here in our session. So for believing that trust is something you give, I want you to really think about that. Spend a moment thinking about a time where you chose to trust and believe in something or someone without having all the evidence to do so. Maybe it's your faith in God. Maybe it's trusting that your job is stable, trusting that your husband is a good man or is a good father. So again, just think of a time where you willingly gave your trust without having all the evidence. And to be perfectly honest, that's most of the time because we can never have all the evidence in the world for something. So hopefully you have something that has come to mind for you. And what I want you to do now is to focus on how you felt being in that trusting place. Just in that moment of full and complete trust. And when you think about it, it probably felt pretty good. You were at peace, content, optimistic, hopeful, confident, secure. Just stay with those feelings for a moment. I don't want you to sort of fast forward if it was right for you to trust or not. Just the point right now is that you were able to, that you were able to trust, and that by doing so, you actually benefited in terms of how you felt and how you operated. Now, on the flip side, I want you to think of a time where maybe you didn't trust, but then found evidence that you should have. Maybe you thought someone was being dishonest when they were actually being truthful. Maybe you were skeptical of someone who actually had your best interest in mind. Maybe you doubted someone would come through for you, and they actually did. How did you feel then? Did you feel bad for doubting them? Foolish? Did you regret it and feel like you missed out on something? Did you wish you had given them the benefit of the doubt? You know, you see, the thing is, trusting someone actually feels good. You feel lighter, more at peace, when you can really let go of your doubt and questions and open your heart to trust. You feel better. And when you really think about it, trusting someone is for your own peace of mind. Like forgiveness, trust is a gift that you give to yourself. And I really encourage you to do that with your husband when you approach your next conversation. The second point I want to expand upon is coming to the conversations with a clean slate. I was presenting at a conference recently, and one of the participants made an honest observation. She shared that since she's been with her husband for so long, she feels like she can predict his response to almost any situation, and that sometimes she will put words in his mouth before he's had a chance to say anything. That ultimately it causes him to say nothing, and then he shuts down. And she recognized the missed opportunity to have a real conversation with him and made a commitment to stop doing that. So what about you? How many times have you come to conversations with your assumptions and predictions and expectations for how things will go? You know, what your husband will say and how he'll react. How many times have you done that? Well, we all do it. And sometimes history is a good teacher, and those assumptions, predictions, and expectations are true. But sometimes doing that really gets in the way, and it doesn't leave room for new and better ways of interacting with each other. And in order to clear the path for a peaceful and fightless conversation, you have to leave the drama behind. You know, that argument from before is over and done with. And your inability to really listen to each other does not have to be your reality forever. It is possible to wipe the slate clean and to start over from a place of true openness. And in order to So excuse me for that technical difficulty there. I hope that it has not impacted this recording too much. But what I want to say that in order to truly wipe the slate clean, you have to be aware of what it is you've been holding on to. So ask yourself, what am I holding on to that prevents me from coming to conversations with an open mind and a clean slate? Where have I been hurt, angry, or frustrated in the past? What's the point of holding on to that stuff? What purpose does it serve me? How might the communication with my husband improve if I was able to fully release those things? How would I feel if they were no longer clouding my mind? What would it take for me to be able to let them go? What can I do today to make that happen for myself? And this last question is the most important here. What can you do today, right now, to wipe the slate clean? And I don't know as an answer, is not going to get you very far. And so I want to push you. If you did know, what would it be? There's always an answer to be found if you're willing to look long enough. The third point to talk through as we think about building trust is the point of trusting yourself. And like anything in relationships, if you don't have it first within yourself, you can't truly create it with another person. We fear having conversations because deep down, we don't know if we can handle the outcome. We worry about what to say because we're not sure we'll be able to fully express ourselves. We shut down to avoid the argument because we don't ever want to be wrong. Trusting yourself in conversations means that you believe you can honestly figure out how you feel, what you really want, believing that you can listen more, understand what your husband is saying, and see things from his perspective. It's believing that you don't have to control every aspect of the conversation, that he can say his part without your judgment, that you can handle how it goes, even if it's not the way you would have liked. It also means that you don't have to have everything all figured out, that you can come fully curious and open to resolving the issue together. To get a little bit better at trusting yourself, here are some tips. Think about the worst case scenario to a conversation. What is it that has you most nervous, anxious, or upset? What are you afraid of happening? Or what are you afraid of not happening? Then map out a plan for how you would respond. What would you do if that worst case scenario came true? Again, saying I don't know is not going to help you. So if you did know, what would you do? What would you do if that worst case scenario came true? What steps would you take? And then I want you to build your confidence that it could actually go well. Search your mind for times when you've had productive conversations, even when you didn't expect it to go well. What factors contributed to those conversations going well? What did you do specifically? And how can you do more of that again? So I really, really encourage you to trust yourself. You have the skills and abilities to get this right. You can calmly respond and keep your cool in any conversation if you make the conscious choice to do so. You can listen and hear his perspective without feeling that you're giving in, and you can figure out a way forward from any conversation. And as we wrap up this session on trust, I want to ask you another question. Where is trust lacking most in your communication? Is it with trusting your husband's words? Is it believing he can actually listen to you and understand your perspective? Is it believing both of you can have an open mind and talk calmly together? Is it in being able to wipe the slate clean and trusting yourself? Where is the trust the weakest? Take some time this week to really observe what's happening and to answer that question. I want to leave you with a few affirmations that I hope will help you internalize some of the concepts in this session. Listen to them and see yourself living them out. It doesn't matter if it's not your reality now, because if you want it to become your reality, you have to believe it's possible. So don't let doubt creep in, but stay in the moment and let these positive and affirming words give you hope and inspiration for what you can create. I trust my husband and myself and know that we are able to talk openly and honestly without fear, shame, or judgment. I trust my husband and myself and know that we are able to talk openly and honestly without fear, shame, or judgment. I trust the process of communication, which helps me to listen, understand, and grow in ways that make me better. I trust the process of communication, which helps me listen, understand, and grow in ways that make me better. I trust that together, my husband and I can manage any conflict we are having and arrive at a positive outcome. I trust that together, my husband and I can manage any conflict we are having and arrive at a positive outcome. I am using the information I've learned on a consistent basis to become a more thoughtful, honest, and effective communicator. I am using the information I've learned on a consistent basis to become a more thoughtful, honest, and effective communicator. I am grateful for where I am right now and trust that I am being led to a happier and better version of myself. I am grateful for where I am right now and trust that I am being led to a happier and better version of myself. So that's it for now. I encourage you to this session over and over so that the information becomes second nature to you. And practice, practice, practice putting this new way of thinking into action every day. Until next time, I will talk to you soon.